which Hitler made 2 months ago must have had to be entirely recast in order to meet our new position. 2 months ago, nay, 1 month ago, our first and main effort was to keep our best army in France. All our regular troops, all our output of munitions, and a very large part of our air force had to be sent to France and maintained in action there. But now we have it all at home. Never before in the last war, or in this, have we had in this island an army comparable in quality, equipment, or numbers to that which stands here on guard tonight. We have 1.5 million men in the British Army under arms tonight. And every week of June and July has seen their organization, their defenses, and their striking power advance by leaps and bounds. No praise is too high for the officers and men, aye, and civilians, who have made this immense transformation in so short a time. Behind these, soldiers of the regular army, as a means of destruction for parachutists, airborne invaders, and any traitors that may be found in our midst, and I do not believe there are many, woe betide them, they will get short shrift. Behind the regular army, we have more than 1 million of the local defense volunteers, or as they are much better called, the Home Guard. These officers and men, a large proportion of whom have been through the last war, have the strongest desire to attack and come to close quarters with the enemy, wherever he may appear. Should the invader come to Britain, there will be no placid lying down of the people in submission before him, as we have seen, alas, in other countries. We shall defend every village, every town, and every city. The vast mass of London itself, fought street by street, could easily devour an entire hostile army. And we would rather see London laid in ruins and ashes than that it should be tamely and abjectly enslaved. I am bound to state these facts because it is necessary to inform our people of our intentions and thus to reassure them. This has been a great week for the Royal Air Force and for the Fighter Command. They have shut down more than 5-1 of the German aircraft which have tried to molest our convoys in the Channel, or have ventured to cross the British coastline. Of course, only the preliminary encounters to the great air battles which lie ahead. But I know of no reason why we should be discontented with the results so far achieved, although, of course, we hope to improve upon them as the fighting becomes more widespread and comes more inland. Around all lies the power of the Royal Navy. With over 1,000 armed ships under the white ensign, patrolling the seas, the Navy, which is capable of transferring its force very readily to the protection of any part of the British Empire which may be threatened, which is capable also of keeping open our communication with the New World, from whom, as the struggle deepens, increasing aid will come. Is it not remarkable that after 10 months of unlimited U-boat and air attack upon our commerce, that our food reserves are higher than they have ever been, and that we have a substantially larger tonnage under our own flag, apart from great numbers of foreign ships in our control, than we had at the beginning of the war? Why do I dwell on all this? Not surely to induce any slackening of effort or vigilance. On the contrary, these must be redoubled. And we must prepare not only for the summer, but for the winter. Not only for 1941, but for 1942, when the war will, I trust, take a different form from the defensive in which it has hitherto been bound. I dwell on these elements in our strength, on these resources which we have mobilized and control, I dwell on it and them, because it is right to show that the good cause can command the means of survival, and that while we toil through the dark valley, we can see the sunlight on the uplands beyond. I stand at the head of a government representing all parties in the state, all creeds, all classes, every recognizable section of opinion. We are ranged beneath the crown of our ancient monarchy. We are supported by a free parliament and a free press. But there is one bond which unites us all and sustains us in the public regard, namely, as is increasingly becoming known, that we are prepared to proceed to all extremities, to endure them and to enforce them. That is our bond of union in His Majesty's government tonight. Thus only, in times like these, can nations preserve their freedom, and thus only can they uphold the cause entrusted to their care. But all depends now upon the whole life strength of the British race, all our associated peoples, and of all our well-wishers in every land, doing their utmost night and day, giving all, daring all, enduring all, to the utmost, to the end. It is no war of chieftains or of princes, of dynasties or national ambitions. It is a war of peoples and of causes. There are vast numbers, not only in this island, but in every land, who will render faithful service in this war, but whose names will never be known, whose deeds will never be recorded. This is a war of the unknown warriors. But let all strive without failing, in faith or in duty, and the dark curse of Hitler will be lifted from our age.
here comes. We'll be right back. don't want me like a slave, no way, no way.
Get off my back, it's a boss slave.
I don't want me like a slave, no way, no way.
You keep pushing me, pushing me, pushing me, like you wanna push me out of my job, job, job. pushing me like you wanna push me out of my job. Job, job, job.
Al ben je anders dan mij, Oscar, nee Oscar, je hoort er ook bij.
Hé, moet je kijken, daar is Oscar.
Weg! Oh ja, doe het raam open, doe het raam open en roep hem. Oscar, Oscar.
Oscar, hij komt. Ik ga de deur open, Annie.
En dan maak je een boterham met pindakaas voor hem.
Ja, en dan moet je tegen hem zeggen, hij dat we hem uitgelachen hebben.
Kimmer, ik moest alleen maar lachen omdat hij zo gek deed en dat vond ik juist leuk. Dat vond ik juist leuk.
Ja, hij.
Ja, dat komt niet, dat komt niet.
Oscar, oh Oscar, kruip je nou toch weg. Oscar, heus je hebt niet altijd veel. Oscar, hey Oscar, al ben je anders dan mij.
Ha ha ha. Ja, goeie avond. Dit is het programma Beautiful Extremes. En een speciale uitzending vanavond van het programma Beautiful Extremes. We hebben namelijk bijzondere gasten in de studio. Tegenover mij zit Snakefinger en meneer Hardy Fox. En Hardy Fox is de manager van de Residence. Hij is de baas van de Cryptic Corporation. En de Cryptic Corporation die zorgt voor alle Residence-uitgaven. Maar eerst hoorden we een stukje van de nieuwe of van de laatst verschenen LP van Snakefinger. Snakefinger's Vestal Virgins, The Night of the Desirable Objects. En het nummer wat we hoorden was 8¼, oftewel 8¼. Is that the exact title of the song?
Yes, that's the exact title. It's taken from Fellini's film 8½, but it's lots of different bits of music put together, so it's called 8¼.
Yeah, and the thing which amazed me from this LP was that you had so many difficult styles. The songs are, even there's a more disco-like song, and it's not the Snakefinger as we knew.
Well, I think one has to keep changing, and one has to keep guessing.
Can you come? Can you? Yeah.
One needs to keep.
Or you can push the microphone as well.
Gotcha. So. One needs to keep getting at one's influences, and I like lots of different kinds of music, so I try and get as many in there as I like, you know.
Yeah.
It's purely for my enjoyment.
Yeah, but before that, most of your LPs were, you had one LP with only blues songs, and the old stuff was a bit different.
Yeah, the blues thing, that was just a one-time history lesson that I wanted to do. That's all it was, a history lesson, and it was at a time when I thought it basically needed something to happen like that. It definitely needed to be told the way it was back then. But that was, as I say, one history lesson, and I enjoyed doing it. But it certainly wasn't my main thrust in life. I certainly don't want to be some sort of teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Although I had tons of fun doing it.
Yeah. So, what can we expect? Because you're playing in Amsterdam this Saturday. What can we expect then?
Well, I have a really super band. They're very, very, very good musicians, and I have Eric Feldman from Captain Beefheart's band on keyboards, and John Ryan on drums, and Ben Guy on bass. They're very, very good musicians. And we'll be playing some stuff from the new record and some stuff from the old records, and none of the history of the blues. I'm afraid that's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how, you already did two concerts, I think, in Holland?
Yes, yeah. One.
Oh, one.
Concert in Holland.
Did it...
Yes, it was real good.
Yeah?
It was in The Hague.
Okay, so the next song we're going to play is I Gave Myself to You. I mean, let's hope that that's the song.
Like best, but you said that we were through. Now I'm one of those jerks that got nothing worth. Cause I gave myself to you. I gave myself to you. I gave myself to you. I gave myself to you.
Ja, het is 4 minuten voor 1 en je hebt geluisterd naar een van de, ja, een van de obscure opnames van The Residents. So, Hardy, what was this exactly what we heard?
Well, I don't exactly know. what it amounts to is that when I was coming over here, The Residents, I said that I had talked to you before coming over,
yeah,
about doing a show while I was here. And so I said, you know, what can you give me to play that hasn't been played before? And so they gave me several cassettes and told me that I would have to go through them and sort of check them out. Mm-hmm. But it's what it really is things that they've worked on that aren't finished, things that are sketches for things that they're going to do later,
mm-hmm.
or just some experimental things. So I've certainly isolated a few things. Some are more finished than others. Some of them are pretty rough.
Was this a pretty rough one?
Well, I would say that one is not a rough one, but I would say it's not finished.
Yeah.
It's probably... but to me it sounds like a good start. So it's probably going to become something. That's probably one that's like underway.
Is this recorded after the last tour?
All of the things they gave me have been since the tour.
So the Residents worked a lot after their tour?
They went straight into the studio after the tour and recorded Hit the Road Jack, just as the very first thing, just as sort of a getting back into the studio. And they've virtually been recording ever since.
Yeah. Is there any reason why they did record it, Hit the Road Jack? Any particular reason?
Yes. But I don't think I'll go into it. It was for personal reasons.
Oh, all right. So, and can people expect a whole LP of it wasn't written by Fats Domino, but probably Bartolome?
Or no,
I don't know.
It was written by, let's see, I should know that. It was Ray Charles that actually,
oh, Ray Charles, yeah,
that actually
of course.
Did it, but he didn't write it. It was Percy Mayfield.
Well,
Percy Mayfield wrote it. Yeah.
So can people expect a whole LP of Percy Mayfield?
No. Percy was fine, but I don't think he's going to be covered in the American Composer Series.
No, he has some good ones there.
Well, he does. I'm not saying he won't, but it was just a one-off. It had some particular sentiment about it that was suitable for
and
situation.
And talking about the Hit the Road Jack, you immediately, the Residents immediately made a 12-inch version of it.
Well, sort of. The record company asked for an extended version, and so,
So did the Residents make the 12-inch version, or was it remixed by somebody else? Like
no, they did it. It's a remix, but it's not a real radical remix. It's more of a re-edit. It's,
yeah.
It's stretched out a little bit, and they added an additional bass drum to it because they thought that for an extended 12-inch that it should have a more clarified beat.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a 3/4 on a 4/4. So it's a little confusing from a dance point of view.
Yeah.
And so by adding the 2/4 on top of the 3/4 on the 4/4, it became a little clearer.
Yeah. Okay, so what are we going to listen to right now?
This is two tracks here. I don't know if you want to go through them both. It's two tracks that are like, it's a rough sketch for a real completed thing. It's not a recording of that recording quality. It's quickly done.
Hmm.
But it has vocals and everything. So anyway, I don't know that it's for anything in particular.
Okay.
Might be. I don't know.
the touch that gives me life and scares me much too much too much.
Seized by something, suddenly she slipped into the night. Escaping all she knew in love, she went to see the light. Also true, I may come back to you, and what you see and what you do and what you think you do. But I'll be mine inside the blindness that we have to live. But I'll still smile my smile for you and give what I can give. Thank you.
Ja, het is inmiddels 1 uur en 12 minuten geworden en je luistert naar een speciale uitzending van het programma Beautiful Extremes. En we hebben nog steeds in de studio Snakefinger en Mr. Hardy Fox, de manager van The Residence, de manager van Cryptic Corporation. So this is one of the other things The Residence recorded after their worldwide tour.
Yes.
And Snakefinger isn't on it.
No, he's been gone too much.
Yes, I've been very busy touring and finishing off my own record, and the residents tell me that I have a lot of work to catch up on when I get back. When I used to be in England after the first time I met the residents, they just send me blank tape to record anything on, and I just record anything on it, and then they'd use the blank tape.
So now it's the other way around. They fill the tape and they send it over.
That's so, right.
But after touring with the residents, you worked on your own LP?
Yes, that's right. We both got back from Australia and New Zealand, and in between Australia and New Zealand and coming to Europe, the residents went back and they finished up their LP, and I went back and finished up my LP.
Yeah, and now you are touring again. So. You have a busy life touring.
That's right. I'm rather busy being out and about. But I mean, it's rather wonderful considering that we're still getting away with it after all this time.
And is this only a European tour or is this a world Snakefinger tour?
Well, we did 2 months in America just before this.
Oh.
And we're going to Australia in November.
Again?
Yes. Yeah. So it's kind of following in the residents' footsteps, you might say.
So, a lot of people don't know, but you're English.
Yes, that's right.
And but I